of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Me, I see prophecies.
very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. I'm in the studio with Brother Yao Oredu. We thank God for another Saturday, and God's goodness has been with us, giving us another week to come back to you through the power of radio. This program is every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. and you can get us online, spiritissues.info. You can listen to previous editions as well online. You can download them as well. And we depend on the support of our listeners to keep this program to going. And it's a prayer that we'll have more people supporting this program even as time goes on. Okay. Last week, we treated the wrath of God and then the great tribulation. You can get the file online. You can listen to it. You can download spiritissues.info. And tonight, we are still discussing things regarding the issues of life. Issues of coronavirus and the times we live in and matters arising and, you know, the prayer and the fasting and all the things happening around us and all. You know, it's getting more interesting when you look at the state of the church and the way things are being done. And we'll be talking about some things as well. Actually, yeah, someone just sent me a message just now as I was about to talk, and he says, please, there's a revelation concerning Ghana and the world. Was wondering if you may give airtime for us to share and pray against it. So as we were talking before you came, we came into the studio, the Lord is revealing more things to people. And I believe these are the times we should be very mindful of the times we live in and be led and be spirit-led, as it were. You know, you can pray and you can pray amiss. I mean, it's one of the most frustrating things. You know, you are praying, but you are wasting time.
Today we'll be tackling.
Things should be done the right way, and you know it's very important, because else you may end up doing things as you feel and as you expect, but not according to the will of God, and that's the critical point. And because we are at a point where the will of God should be the ultimate. Else you can easily be praying against the will of God. You can easily be praying against the will of God. Because if the will of God is that we should be at home, and you say you are praying and binding the spirit of corona, then you see, the way you pray is very important. Yeah, so later on we'll talk about some of these things as well. But well, let's get into some of the news. The world isn't getting any better, and it's not going to get any better. So that one, let's just get it clear, because these are just the beginning of sorrows. This is not the end. The Bible is clear about it. This is not the end. Jesus himself said it. Yeah, please help me with that verse. These are just the beginning, you know, so...
Let me just go to Matthew 24. Let's start from verse 4.
Yeah.
Matthew 24. Please, I'm coming. I'm actually want to misbehave.
It's
Matthew 24 from verse 4. He said, and let's start from verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately and say, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Then Jesus starts. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He said, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Simple. The end all is this, not yet.
Even we've not seen the war yet. just one disease. Just one disease, corona. We've not even seen it, because he said pestilences.
Yeah.
But now we've just seen only one, and it seems we just want to finish come to the end of the world. We cannot go that way. We've not gotten there. He said the end is not yet. Then he continued. For nation shall rise against nation.
Yeah.
And kingdom against kingdom. Wars are going to come.
Yeah.
So until they come, he said, and there shall be famines. Mm-hmm. Not one. Means. Plural. And pestilences.
Mm-hmm.
And earthquakes in diverse places.
Yeah.
And after saying all this, he said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Not the time of his coming. Beginning of sorrows. That's what the Bible is saying.
All right. So let's start with the news. First one. Iran military chief warns its forces will destroy U.S. warships if threatened in Persian Gulf. Wars and rumors of wars. The leader of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps vowed Thursday that his troops will destroy any American terrorist force that threatens the country's ships in the Persian Gulf. The inflammatory comment from Major General Hussein Salami on Iranian state TV comes a day after President Trump warned the Islamic Republic in a tweet that he has instructed the U.S. Navy to shoot down and destroy any and all Iranian gunboats if they harass our ships at sea.
Brevin,
yeah.
These Iranian people, are they affected by the coronavirus?
They've died plenty, but their numbers.
They are not caring they have a focus.
Their numbers. They are not reporting the true numbers. They are behaving like China.
It has
finished them, politicians, MPs. Oh, it has hit them big
but
time.
But they are still focusing on the war. That's their target.
When you hate your enemy to the core, it's like
you don't care what happens on the back.
They don't care about their death. So, Trump was speaking in response to an incident last week in the Persian Gulf's international waters, in which Iranian ships repeatedly crossed in front and behind U.S. vessels at extremely close range and high speeds. I have ordered our naval forces to destroy any American terrorist force in the Persian Gulf that threatens the security of Iran's military or non-military ships, Salami declared on Thursday, according to Reuters. Security of the Persian Gulf is part of Iran's strategic priorities, according, and he says that Salami's sentiment was echoed Thursday by Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif, who tweeted himself that Trump should focus on treating coronavirus cases in U.S. military rather than Iran's naval actions. As if
they don't have
these people. Then, coronavirus news, this one said, you know, this headline, when I heard it in the news, I wanted to check it for myself first.
To be sure.
This is the UN itself saying this. World risks biblical, quote unquote, biblical famines due to pandemic. This is according to the UN.
So do you know there is something called biblical?
Biblical.
That is cool.
Famine.
You go speak truth.
The world is at the risk of widespread famines of biblical proportions. These are their words, so I mean, not my words.
How
interesting it is that they are using biblical just to draw our attention to the fact that the Bible has prophesied this.
So why don't we go to the Bible?
Is it not interesting that the UN is pointing Christians to the Bible? That your Bible prophesied that there will be famines in the end times, and now these things are coming.
And we are looking to them for solutions. While they are telling us that our Bible prophesied this, we are there now looking unto them, United Nations, government, politicians, while they are writing this. There are the answer.
So the world is at risk of widespread famines of biblical proportions caused by the coronavirus, the UN has warned. David Beasley, head of the World Food Program, WFP, said urgent action was needed to avoid a catastrophe. A report estimates that the number suffering from hunger could go from 135 million to more than 250 million. Those most at risk are in 10 countries affected by a conflict, economic crisis, and climate change, according to the WFP. The fourth annual global report on food crisis highlights Yemen, DR Congo, Afghanistan, Venezuela, Ethiopia, South Sudan, Sudan, Syria, Nigeria, and Haiti.
Nigeria,
The northern part, no? Northern parts, because of Boko Haram and the Fulani herdsmen and all those, the actions there. In South Sudan, 61% of the population was affected by a food crisis last year, the report says. Even before the pandemic hit, parts of East Africa and South Asia were already facing severe food shortages caused by drought and the West's locust infestations for decades. Addressing the UN Security Council during a video conference, Mr. Beasley said the world had to act wisely and act fast. We could be facing multiple famines of biblical proportions within a short few months, he said. The truth is we do not have time on our side. In a call to action, he added, I do believe that with our expertise and our partnerships, we can bring together the teams and programs necessary to make certain the COVID-19 pandemic does not become a human and food crisis catastrophe. All right, we go to Australia. Australia joins U.S. warship in South China Sea as tensions grow. Beijing angered its Southeast Asian neighbors by creating two administrative units on the disputed Paracel and then Spratly Islands. An Australian warship has joined the U.S. Navy in the drill in South China Sea as tensions rise again between Beijing, Malaysia, and Vietnam over disputed waters. The Australian frigate and three U.S. warships arrived this week close to where the Chinese government survey ship Hang DZ-8 is suspected to be exploring for oil. A vessel operated by Malaysia's Petronas State Oil Company is also operating in the area. The joint Navy exercises were likely planned for months in advance, but the show of force comes amid accusations that China is exploiting the COVID-19 crisis to bolster its territorial claims in regional flashpoints. Beijing angered its Southeast Asian neighbors at the weekend by creating two administrative units on the islands. These are archipelagos claimed by multiple countries in the region. As for China, they want to annex everything in the world they can. Okay. The trending man, Bill Gates, the world doctor, says,
he cares
about us, but he loves that. He loves everyone. He loves the world and the people in the world thereof. This man. As things get back to semi-normal, quote-unquote, semi-normal, it's impossible to overstate the pain that lies in the years ahead, according to Bill Gates. The way he's granting interviews and writing articles for news networks, it's like, I mean, I've been asking myself, so what is his passion? And it's as if the coronavirus is like, it's his, the biggest worry on his mind. When, you see, the day he resigned from his two big companies, I said, like, hey, and he didn't hide it. His attention is now on these days, full time. The timing isn't just a coincidence. And last week, I don't know whether you saw the link I sent you, the new patent for Microsoft. They didn't get any number. Why is 0? I mean, not 040506 or 0507, but the code for the patents, the latest patent for Microsoft. I mean, the new one of the new code, I mean, projects they are working on, the patents at World International Intellectual Property Organization, the code 060606. Quite a coincidence, if it is, but I mean, it's just interesting that of all the people in the world, of all the companies in the world, their patents will have this number. And the code And the patent itself is interesting because the patent is about cryptocurrency, about the human body activity being used for transactions. What comes to mind? I mean, it's just interesting. But well, we leave it for another time. All right. So Bill Gates says that that's Bill Gates, Microsoft co-founder and co-chair of the Gates Foundation. Sharing his latest thoughts on the coronavirus pandemic in an 11-page memo cited by the Seattle Times. The good news, he said, is we can look forward to a semi-normal world over the next 2 months. People can go out, but not as often, and not to crowded places. And then Gates wrote, picture restaurants that only sit people at every other table, and airplanes where every middle seat is empty. Then ticket will be expensive, oh, if that's the way for traveling.
No, I'm not sure tickets, because the way our drivers...
No, plane, it will be expensive.
But the way our drivers are compliant, they should also comply.
No, but if you reduce, if you have a plane is to take 200 people, and you have to create social distancing by removing the middle seats, who should bear that cost? The airline, they'll pass it on. Yeah, they should bear the
because the reason why I'm saying so, because when you look at GPRT for now,
did you see their threats? They threaten that if the government doesn't reduce petrol fare, that they will increase fares on their own. So you expect the airline, which is even
but for me, in the car with this social distancing sitting, I don't feel comfortable in the truck. I don't feel comfortable in the truck. Children was so sad. I'm used to pumping.
Okay. So Bill Gates says that people can go out, but not as often, and not to crowded places.
Yes, that's a senior brother watching over everybody, advising everybody.
Gates wrote, picture restaurants that only sit people at every other table, and airplanes where every middle seat is empty.
He said it's in advance.
Oh, yeah.
This is he has said.
He said he believes schools will reopen, but stadiums will not. And your football for empty stadium. The basic principle should be to allow activities that have a large benefit to the economy or human welfare, but pose a small risk of infection, Gates said. In a separate piece penned for The Economist, the tech billionaire said that when historians write a book on the pandemic, what we've lived through so far will only take up the first third. Then the bulk of the story will be what happens next. He wrote, even if governments lift shelter-in-place orders, and that's the lockdowns, and businesses reopen their doors, humans have a natural aversion to exposing themselves to disease. Airports won't have large crowds. Sports will be played in basically empty stadiums. And the world economy will be depressed because demand will stay low. He said life will only return to normal when, as usual, most of the population is vaccinated. Hey, Mr. Vassin.
You go there.
And that could take a while, though he hopes that one will be in the mass production by the second half of 2021. If that's the case, it will be a history-making achievement, the fastest humankind has ever gone from recognizing a new disease to immunizing against it, Gates wrote.
It's a law that is disrupting their timetable for the verses to give the church a little breather to rethink
and refocus
what is coming, right, and re-strategize.
And to prepare.
Because this is what, because some of us were telling God, if this disease will bring the mark of the beast, then I tell you, heaven.
The church is not ready.
That is it.
Oh, yeah.
So try and disrupt them a little for us. So the church, don't think we're going back to normalcy.
No.
We should restart thinking, re-strategizing, because from this statement, he knows what is ahead. They are the planners of the world. Even about disease and virus, he spoke about it some 10 years ago, and now it happened. They are saying this, they know what is ahead already. So if things even is to come back to normal,
large gatherings,
we should strategize very fast and prepare the church for what is ahead.
Yeah, how can they prepare the church when the pastors themselves don't want to accept the reality of the times we live in? That's the issue. But gradually, you see, what I foresee happening, and I believe that eventually what will be happening as a main trend is the members down the line will rather know the truth while their pastors are up there holding on to their doctrine.
They will start living.
And eventually realize that, I mean, your members...
They will trust you again. Because when they check it from the word of God, it's A, B, C.
Already, I saw a news... there was a survey that was done in the U.S., but largely it's the church, so it's applicable here most likely. And the survey pointed to the fact that people are now saying that even when the church is opened, the numbers going back will not be as the church is expecting. Because people now will be more comfortable at home when they still can't trust the system, I mean, security-wise, in terms of the health and all that. And then, two, people have become comfortable.
Look at this.
And then the third one is people were going to church mostly, a lot of people were just going to church to please their conscience, but were not getting the real spiritual nourishment and satisfaction within. So it was like, well, let me go for going sick. If I don't go, my pastor will complain. If I don't go, people will call, people will say I'm backslided. But now that the reality has set in and we are all not going, people have now reorganized themselves and are seeking God their own way. And are finding God in their homes, in their small home fellowships and their neighborhood fellowships. So for them to now go back to the old school as we know it, I said, my baby.
It's serious.
So the change has come. And the earlier people accept and then adjust into it, the better it will be.
You know, when this lockdown was lifted, like partially it was lifted, many people were very happy. Mm-hmm. A lot of Christians, but they did not even care that they are not going to church. No, this is immediately they announced it. I told people, have you seen?
Mm-hmm.
People have forgotten even that the church, which maybe helps in their spiritual need, was not open. They are okay with, oh, I can go to work, I can go and buy, yeah. I can. They did not even care about it. So gradually,
because for now, church, they know they can still read their Bible in the house. They can bring that in the house.
So gradually, their minds have been taken off. So if the church doesn't strategize to now let the Lord lead for them to know how to ensure the church is still relevant in this time around, it will be disaster.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we have army chaplains' prayer videos during coronavirus removed from Facebook after complaints.
What was the complaints? It doesn't meet community standards. I remember they placed me in some group and I posted Jesus messages and I was told that it is against community standards. Why people were posting Puno and Lotto in the same group?
It met
their community standard. So do you know what I mean? I deleted myself from all the groups. I don't want problems.
No.
I'll post on my wall alone.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you see, there's coming a time where even when you have put it on your wall,
Reverend,
because it was done to someone will still flag it as inappropriate and they'll remove it anyway.
Reverend, a time is coming, we'll be off the whole platform, so we are prepared for what that is. Why we're trying to make good use as at this time when we get there, and then we are gone.
Several military chaplain videos offering prayer during the coronavirus pandemic have been removed from Facebook after a group complained they amounted to illicit proselytizing of Christianity. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation watchdog group is celebrating. And, you know, four recent videos involving chaplains Captain Amy Smith and Major Scott Ingram posted on Facebook page of the Army's 10th Mountain Division Sustainment Brigade at Fort Drum, New York, were taken down after MRFF founder and president Mikey Winston sent a demand letter claiming they violate the establishment clause of the First Amendment. And indeed, Facebook went ahead and removed the videos. And they said they should have rather been posted on a Christian page, but not on the brigade's page.
We use technicalities.
Christians in India see dramatic increase of attacks in 2020. Attacks on Christians and their places of worship in India continue to escalate in both number and severity in the early months of 2020, with 27 violent incidents reported in March alone. United Christian Forum in India, a Christian organization that advocates on behalf of Christians in India, documented 56 threats against Christians as well as 78 incidents of violence against between January and March 2020. Then we have Protestant families in Mexico denied water access and kids barred from school. Some Protestant minority families from indigenous communities in Mexico are being denied access to crucial utilities like water and electricity, while some kids are denied access to school, a new report from an international Christian persecution watchdog warns. Christian Solidarity Worldwide, which is active in over 20 countries, published its new report, A Culture of Impunity, Religious Discrimination in Mexico, on Monday. The report sheds light on the common and widespread occurrence of religious freedom violations in Mexico, as well as increasing violence against religious leaders in the North American country. And then goes on to say that majority of these cases included either threats, illegal fines, or arbitrary detention. The most common form of violation was the blocking of basic services such as water and electricity. So because of your faith, they cut your electricity, they cut your water.
It's coming. That is why I said, time is coming if you don't receive the mark. You cannot buy, you cannot sell, you cannot do anything. So these are just the beginning. As last week our brother said, we have tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets, tribulation is one people.
Endemic.
And when it affects.
Tribulation is persecution is endemic.
That is it.
Mm-hmm.
Then the great tribulation, that is when it affects
pandemic.
Anybody. So endemic, pandemic, tribulation, great tribulation. That is it.
Iranian Christian sentenced to flogging and prison. International Christian Concern has learned that on 21st April 2020, Christian human rights activist Mary Fatima Muhammadi received a suspended prison sentence of 3 months by the Iranian government. The sentence included a directive ordering Mary to receive a flogging of 10 lashes. Mary has come under significant pressure from the Iranian authorities over the years because of her Christian human rights activism. We go to Nigeria. We have Fulani militants kill 4 in Kaduna State. And, you know, Nigeria's case doesn't get any better. It just gets worse. And look like every day something is happening because it's not even all the reports that get into the media. Yeah. And on and on. And let me finish with this interesting piece about Israel. We have this headline says, is the Sahindrin, quote and unquote, unintentionally paving the way to second coming of Christ? One Bible expert is claiming that the Jewish Sahindrin in Jerusalem may very well be unintentionally paving the way for the second coming of Christ. Many Christians believe that the return of Christ was prophesied in the Holy Bible, and among the top signs of his prophesied return is the construction of the third holy temple in Jerusalem, Israel, where one day the future Antichrist will set up his headquarters in the end days. According to one college professor, Tom Mayer, who has memorized 20 books from the Bible, a council of Jewish rabbis known as the Sanhedrin could unintentionally set the stage for the return of the Lord. He recently stated, according to the Express, quote, biblically speaking, a third Jewish temple is a necessity because biblical prophecy states that the Antichrist will proclaim himself to be the true Christ in the yet-to-be-built third Jewish temple. And this is what we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2,
verse
4, 5 is where this particular sitting in the temple thing.
Should I read it?
Oh, yeah, you can read it, yeah.
Okay. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 down. Okay, let's read the verse. Okay, let's read from that. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Christ Jesus, and by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as it from us. He said, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come the falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things.
So Paul was preaching about this. That wasn't only the time he was writing, he was also preaching about this to them. And we are preaching something different in our time, because we think that part of the Bible doesn't suit and it's not sweet to our ears. So God help us. All right, let me continue. He says, considering this, perhaps the rebirth of the Sanhedrin with its desire to reinstate animal sacrifices and build a third Jewish temple is unintentionally paving the way for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy of the second coming of Christ, the true Jewish Messiah. The first temple in Jerusalem stood until the year 586 BC, when it was eventually destroyed by the Babylonians. Then a second temple was constructed, but it was destroyed this time by the Roman Empire in the year AD 70. And this is when Jesus, the disciples asked him, in Matthew 24 verse 1, when he talked about the fact that they asked him what to be the sign regarding the temple, because he said the wall, the blocks,
is going to
all be destroyed. It was fulfilled in AD 70. And this temple was destroyed in response to a Jewish revolt, and fragments of an extension raised by King Herod the Great still stands in Jerusalem. According to Professor Mayer, the ancient Sanhedrin functioned until the Roman Empire officially dismantled it in the early Byzantine period in 358 AD. There have been several attempts to renew the Sanhedrin in modern history. For example, Napoleon tried to assemble a Sanhedrin around 1800, as did different rabbis in the 19th and then the 20th centuries. The first serious attempt to revive the Sanhedrin since the birth of Israel in 1948 was made in 2004 by a coalition of Jewish law experts in Tiberias, where the previous Sanhedrin was disbanded by Rome some 1600 years ago. Unlike the other attempts to resurrect the Sanhedrin, which failed, this current group of 70 scholars and rabbis has been growing in popularity and influence. There were rumors of constructing a third temple that was stoked in 2018 during the Jerusalem's mayoral election, in which the leading candidates, Ofer Bekovich and Moshe Layon, were encouraged to place this construction of the third temple on the agenda. According to Professor Mayer, the Sanhedrin are now considering the possibility of raising a new temple. He stated, among the topics of discussion at their meetings are the possibility of renewing animal sacrifices according to the Mosaic law, and the possibility of preparing prefabricated stones for the third temple that can be quickly assembled on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. In Mayer's opinion, the assembling of the Sanhedrin is a pre-Messianic event worth taking note of. And indeed, anytime you hear about this being talked about, it should remind you of the times we live in. And indeed, in Israel, they have the Temple Institute.
Yeah.
And they have gathered
everything.
They have remolded. There are some that they've been able to retrieve from the old temple artifacts, some which were used in the old temple, and those that they have to redo or remold and reassemble, whatever they've done. And even there is a belief that the Ark, they even know where the Ark is, but that is a top national secret. So virtually, they have everything set. The design has been made for the temple, how it will be built. You know, he mentioned the prefab technology. Yeah. And the prefab technology, within a few weeks, once money is available, within a few weeks, you can build a huge infrastructure. You see the way China built their hospital within how many days? So prefab, it's like the things are prefabricated, just arranged, and then you see, so we are in very interesting times, but unfortunately the church is sleeping, and I believe gradually people are waking up. That's the good side of it. People are waking up. I'm encouraged by the messages we keep getting. You know, listeners are beginning to see the need for the things that we talk about and we've talked about for years. You know, sometimes, I remember some years back, one pastor asked me, so what is the motivation to talk about end times? This was about 7 years ago, or eight, no, 8 years ago. Because it's like, everything is normal, and you are talking about, I mean, end times. What is the motivation? So it's as if you are off. Everybody is saying ABC, you are saying XYZ. But gradually, we are getting there. And I was having a chat with a pastor friend some time back, and you see, I was happy when I saw motivational speakers all talking about eschatology in the last few weeks, because the reality is beginning to set in. My only hope and prayer is they will say the right thing, and they will not twist the things and create more confusion than even if they had not said it, it would have been better. And I pray, my hope is people should get into the Bible themselves. That's the ultimate. The Holy Spirit can teach you and you can understand it. Open the Bible. Ask him to teach you and he will teach you. You see, the problem most Christians have is, this is what I know and that is what I know. I'm not changing. You see, we are not ready to learn. We are not ready to humble ourselves and say that, let me get back to the Bible and read and study it again. You know, I remember, 3 years or so ago, our friend Dr. Ernest in Accra, and we could talk on phone 1 hour, 2 hours, argue on this. You know, he was of the view that, Charlie, Eben, what do you believe is wrong? I mean, it cannot be so. So we open the Bible, we read on phone, and then I said, no, Charlie, what Ernest is saying, there's sense in it too. So the only thing I did was, okay, you give me time. Let me get back to the Bible. Holy Spirit, please teach me what is it that is in there that is a mystery that we can't see. And you see, when you allow yourself to be taught by the Holy Spirit, you start reading and it's like, oh, so how come
all this
long? Oh boy. But you see, this is where the challenge is. We are not ready to relearn things. It's like, well, this is how I was taught, so hold on like that. I mean, to the extent that someone can tell. A pastor told someone that, well, what we are reading is in the Bible, but as for our church doctrine, they will not change it. I mean, yeah, how can you say this? The person was convicted by what he read. But as for our church doctrine, we will not change it. So, was the doctrine made?
They have their own heaven, they will be going, so we have no problem with that.
So, was the doctrine made by man? Why would you want that one to override or be more powerful than the word of God itself? But unfortunately, that's the state we are in now.
They've left the church. That's and Reverend, with what you just said, let me just read this before go. 2 John.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one chapter, verse 9. Get this straight. 2 John. It's just one chapter, verse 9. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Any doctrine which is contrary to the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. So with like what Braben said, they accepted that what they heard is true from the Bible, but they still want to defend the church doctrine, which is contrary to what the Bible said. They don't have God. It's simple.
All right. Let's get to one of my favorite songs, The Basics of Life. Issues of Life. This is Amen. I'll be back after this break.
We've turned the page for a new day has dawned, and we slavery reigns, what is right and what's wrong. Somehow we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. And where are the virtues that once gave us light? And where are the morals that governed our lives? Someday we all will awake and look back just to find what we've lost. Of a life, a heart that is pure and a love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all time. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of a life. Whoa. The newest rage is to reason it out. Just meditate and you can overcome every doubt. After all, man is a god. They say God is no longer alive. But I still believe
in the old rugged cross.
Whoa. Of life, a heart that is pure and a love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all time. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. That is pure and a love that is blind.
We need to get back to the basics of life. A heart that is pure and a love that is blind.
Firmly grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all time.
Welcome to the Temple Treasury with Bob and Jay.
That's right, Bob. We're waiting for the rich man to arrive.
Boy, listen to that crowd roar.
Yes, the rich man is a favorite around here.
He and his servants are approaching the money bin. Wow, listen to that money pour in.
That's because he uses coins to emphasize how much he's giving.
Look, here comes the official judge's score.
What? I don't believe this. He scored zero?
The crowd's not happy at all about this one. Oh, wait. There seems to be an elderly woman approaching the money bin.
I think she's the widow that lives near here. She sure doesn't bring much fanfare.
Actually, I don't think anyone's aware she's down there. She's dropping in what seems to be two silver coins.
No, Bob, those are copper coins.
Pennies? She's only giving pennies? Oh, wait, the judge is giving her a score.
A 10? What she gave barely compares to the rich man.
Boy, that judge must have a different standard than we do.
When it comes to what you give to God, how do you score? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM, the program is Issues of Life. This is Amen. I love this song because of the words. We've turned the page, for a new day has dawned. We rearrange what's right and what's wrong. Somehow, we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. Where are the virtues that once gave us light? Where are the morals that governed our lives? Someday, we all will awake and look back just to find what we've lost. We need to get back to the basics of life. A heart that's pure and a love that's blind. A faith that's fervently grounded in Christ. A faith that is fervently grounded in Christ. The hope that endures for all times. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. The newest rage is to reason it out. Just meditate and you can overcome every doubt. After all, man is a god. They say God is no longer alive. But I still believe in the old rugged cross. And I still believe there is hope for the lost. And I know the rock of all ages will stand through the changes of time. We need to get back to the basics of life. A heart that's pure and a love that's blind. A faith that's fervently grounded in Christ. The hope that endures for all times. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. Beautiful song by For Him. And you know, that's the reality. I mean, we've twisted things and to us it's okay. What is right has become wrong and what is wrong has become right. And if it was only the world that was doing that, it's none of our case. I mean, it's our bad case. But unfortunately, even in the church, we've twisted things and we are comfortable and we are satisfied with it. And that's the reality, to the point where now you even say the truth and rather you become the enemy of the system. Because now even Christians, it's not all Christians who want to hear the truth now. Just come and tickle our ears with the sweet things and you are the one who will love and follow. But if you come with the harsh, hard words, you are not comfortable with that one. And these are the times where we should be focused on hearing the truth. Because soon a time comes where truth will be hard to come by. This program will not be on air forever. Oh yeah, this program will not be on air forever. A time
I will not be around forever. Either I go to prison or they go kill me. It's simple.
That's Brian, y'all for you.
You know, I mean, soon we are getting there. You know, these are things people don't want to hear, but we say it as it is. The system is moving gradually towards that point. And if ever you thought that, oh, these things can never happen in Ghana. Hey, last week, a pastor and then two his associates I mean, then what are we doing in prison now?
4 years.
Because the fine, they couldn't pay the amount.
13,200 and something. So, or 900 and something.
They're in prison. You see, so the issue is, whoever thought, fine, I mean, they broke a law, yes, but whoever thought that a time will come where through public health, a law will come that will make it possible for a pastor to be jailed. You see, so clearly you realize that times are changing. Times are changing. And if ever you thought that things will revert back to the old normal, then you are deceiving yourself. You don't know how these systems work, how the globalists work. They take advantage of chaotic situations and they push new laws. So it's not only Ghana. It's happening across very many, many places. And the world as we know it will never be the same again. It's just like we've moved 1 inch further. So if you think we'll go back, no, we are not. So many things will change. The way we do things, a lot of things will change. Beyond coronavirus, we'll not have, like, you will not go to, bank and you queue like the way you used to queue or sit the way you... Now, social distancing eventually will be the standard of life. You know, I keep saying... Yeah, why are you laughing?
Somebody sent me some. Is it getting to 3 million so during the lockdown? Mm-hmm. So I waited and after they left, I was going to bank to take it. When I got the bank, I said, I will tell this man, that's how you want to send me something. Send him mobile money. Hey, the distance seem you want.
Now there's a bank where I go to. Then now, you sit outside, they space you outside. And when you enter the banking hall, you go in batches of two. There are no chairs in the hall now. You all stand. You just go into and stand behind the, even the counter crowd, the space. So the banking hall is now empty. You just go in and stand. You see, we are getting to, and see, if you think we'll go back, no. Just like 9/11. 9/11 came after the disaster happened. Aviation, travel, and everything changed forever. Security at airport across the world changed forever. So this thing has come, and it is taking us, it's taking our freedoms a little at a time. They don't do it all together once, no. Just a little at a time.
So that you can see it.
A little at a time. So change is coming. Change has come, and then the change, further changes will come. But let's agree and understand. I mean, let's refocus our mind to the fact that the world as we know it is not going back. But as Christians, the way we analyze and see things should not be the same as the unbelievers see and analyze things. We should be a step ahead. If anything at all, the world should rather be looking to us for solutions. And for answers. But if we, the Christians ourselves, are confused and we act as confused, then, what are our non-believers then? And if you look at the state of the body of Christ, it looks like that's how it is. Because disjointed voices, I look at sometimes, these days, some of the videos that I keep getting out, I don't even watch all now.
And they're worth.
Because sometimes, contradiction, this one will come, it's from God. This one is not from God. This from this, it's not from. And so you ask yourself, which God is talking now? And they all say it's from God. Like, it's God who gave them, God showed them this. You see, so even the body of Christ itself is having multiple messages, all purported to be from God. That should tell you something, because God cannot be giving mixed messages and send mixed signals. So, if the unbelievers are looking at us, the church, and they see this confusion amongst even the Christians, then what should they say? These people, then, they are not even serious themselves then. Because in one breath, you look at some of the prayer points and you just marvel. And that time, you look at some of the prayer points and it's like, so even the way we are praying itself is not even focused. The way we are praying is not even focused because it's like some want to attack the disease itself, some want to attack something else, some want to even attack the Antichrist for even trying to destroy God's plan. When I heard that the first time, I said, oh, come on, how far can we go with this thing? How can you pray? People believe that the Antichrist is trying to derail God's plan about the end time, so they have to pray. Yeah, Obi, serious issue. You see, this just to let you the level of confusion within the church. So various prayer points. So it's like, so what is the focus of the church? What is the focus of the church? It's unfortunate that you see, for instance, you see this week when I saw that there's fasting and prayer. I mean, interesting.
Look at me, topical. That is my topical.
I know you talk about this, but you know, as soon as I saw it, I just chuckled and it's like, I just laughed because, you know, my first thought was this should have been done in the first week of this thing.
They did not know it would be that serious.
Why now? You see, it's like, oh, well, this two shall pass. After waiting and the thing is not passing,
they have relaxed.
It's now that we realize that we have to go to God and pray.
They are tired of relaxing. So now.
You see, but this is how, so now, we look at a situation where fasting and prayer should have been our first trump card. But we didn't raise that card first. Rather, we even waited for the president who called for a national prayer and fasting. I believe it should have been the church rather calling this first. But well, the president saw the need for this first and did it. And the church, after doing that, relaxed and waited, thinking, oh, we'll go back soon. Mm-hmm. 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And then when the extension started coming in, they realized that, hey, Jack, Asana is serious. So it's now that we've seen the need to go to God in prayer and fasting. God help us.
Reverend, let's see. A very good evening to everybody doing the listening us now on Spirit 88.3. Now, when we come here, it's just one thing we come to do, to see what the Lord Jesus wants some of us to see. And that is what we care about. So whether people will believe it or not, that should be a case between them and their God.
Yeah.
Because, as Reverend said, let me read it. A time is coming, my dear brother, my dear sister, me and you, the entire world, will be looking for the real word of God. We're not going to get it. Amos chapter 8, 11 and 12. Amos 8, 11 and 12. It says, behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord God, that I will send famine in the land, not of famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, is it but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. This is the word of the Lord God Almighty. A time is coming, you, me, us, we will want to get the unadulterated word of God, and we're not going to get it. And it has started. With the locking down of churches, it has started. If they take us off radio, TV, social media, what do you think is going to happen? It has started in earnest. I am always happy every word we speak, we're going to give account of it. Mm-hmm. Because in Matthew chapter 12, 36, 37 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
Yeah.
For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Yeah.
So as we are here, we know every word we speak, we're going to give account of it. And also in Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. Revelation 22, 18 and 19 say, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man should add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. The greatest plague in the word of God is to end in the lake of fire. Verse 19 says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and out of the things written from the book. So anybody who adds or subtracts from the word of God, you're going to end in the lake of fire. Revelation 21 verse 8 mentioned a lot of sins. He said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters, I love the last one, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Have I ever preached here that I have told you, come and give me money to eat before? No. So why must I come to lie to you on radio? I don't have a church. I belong to Jesus. So why must I come to sit on radio and lie to you? Why is the Bible saying every liar will end in a lake of fire? I'm not that stupid. If I will lie to you, I need to lie to you about something that I must lie and get something from it. If I cannot get anything from it, why must I be lying? So when we come here, we speak what the Lord Jesus wants us to speak. About 3 days ago, is it 3 or 4 days ago? Yeah. Wednesday evening, I came back from home, and I came back from the town, and a brother told me that, we're going to do national fasting and prayer. I said, that's good. I went to check the poster. It started from yesterday, that was Friday, and it's going to end tomorrow, 3 days, national fasting and prayer. By the Christian Council of Ghana, Pentecostal Council, all the churches in Ghana, Catholic Bishops Conference, and all the churches. You know, when I saw the poster and I saw the team, oh God, heal our land. And the team was purportedly taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. Immediately I saw it, the Lord said, yeah, tell them if they are not ready to repent, they should not come and provoke me. He said, tell them, if they are not ready to repent, they should not come and provoke me. This is what the Lord said. That if they are not, we, you, me, us, we are not ready to repent, we should not come and provoke him. The first place, oh God, heal our land. The verse we quoted, the conditions there, let's go to see the verse we quoted for the prayer and fasting. The Lord said, I love fasting a lot. I love prayer. When my children come together and they pray, I love it. But if they pray and it's not according to my word, if they pray whilst they are provoking me, then they will want to bring more curses upon themselves. Let's look at the verse we quoted. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. That is the verse being used for this, our national fasting. Let's read it and see. If truly you and me, us, as a nation, as a people, as a church, whether we are fulfilling the scripture. This is what we must do. We should not just accept anything. I don't tell you that I'm the manager of Spirit FM and you say, oh, it's true. Yeah, he's speaking on Spirit FM, so he's the manager. No. Cross-check it and you get to know. Yeah, even doesn't work at Spirit FM. So whatever that we are saying, something doesn't mean, just believe it. So if our leaders are saying it, the verse they quoted, have you read it? Have I read it? What have you done about that verse? What have I done? What have the nation done about that verse? We don't do nothing about it, prayer. And that is all back. Let's look at that verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 13 and 14. It said, if my people... 13, he said, if I shut up the heaven, this is God speaking, and there be no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people. So immediately I read this, the Lord said, yeah, are they now saying they have realized it is me who sent the pestilence? This is the verse we all quoted as a nation, that we put in it, using it for the fasting and prayer. So the question the Lord asked me, have they truly seen that it is me who brought the disease? And if that is the case, why were you cursing the disease? Fighting the disease? Commanding the disease? Have you seen that we have disgraced ourselves? Our top here ranking pastors, the creme of pastors in Ghana, went to pray with our president. They prayed the number was 9. That day, shot up to 16. As a 9,000 and something. And they declared a national fasting and prayer. Immediately they declared that fast. I said, no, this is wrong. Do you know why? Because our president said Muslim and Christians should pray. I said, this God will not take it. God will be anointed. Because our Muslims say Christians. He said Jesus did not die. Jesus did not resurrect. Jesus is not the Son of God. Jesus is not God. And you tell us we should go and pray. Pray. How can light and darkness go to pray together? So I saw that prayer, God will be anointed. But suddenly, majority of us went, commanding left to right center. The day we were commanding, the number was 68. Today, what's the number? 1,000 and over. Did he hear us? No. So this should tell us then there is something wrong. Mm-hmm. Truly, our God listens to prayer.
Yeah.
He said, call upon me, and I will answer. He said, ask, seek, knock, and I will open. So why is he not opening? Why are we not seeing? Why is the Lord not listening to us? There is something wrong. So this one we were going to do, third time, because the crime of crime went, Dukadaya. Locals also we went, Lukadaya. Now a combination of the crime of crime and the Dukadaya people. So we should have done it correctly. Mm-hmm. But sadly, how many of them? He said, if I send pestilence, so have we now agreed it is the Lord that sent the pestilence? So if it is true, why are we not telling the people that? The way pastors are preaching about nose masks, about washing of hands, about sanitizers, about gloves, if that was the same way they were telling people, we have sinned against God, that is why this is coming. What do you think will have happened? Many will have repented. If our pastors, our men of God, our men and women of God, truly they have, if truly they believe in this verse, do they believe it? They don't believe it, but they quoted it for national prayer. If I send, we said this thing, if the Lord doesn't allow, it will never happen. So once he allows, he has consented to it. So if we have any problem, we go to God. But you people said no, it was government. Government say. Now, what has the government been able to do? It's just by grace and mercy. That is why we are not dying like UK. Check UK and check Ghana. Which of us have medical facilities? No, lockdown. UK and Ghana. Which people are enforcing lockdown very well? But look at the people dying in UK and Ghana. Get to know it is a hand which is doing it. It is not the president's lockdown. No. What he's doing here and what his counterpart in UK is doing, which one of them is more strict and hard?
Mm-hmm.
But look at their debt in Germany. UK and check Ghana.
I think almost 20,000 are UK.
It is just by the grace and the mercies of God. But instead of running to God genuinely, we want to treat God like he's a class one boy. We want to push him left, right, forget. We should forget. Then he continued. If my people which are called by my name, the question is, those pastors leading this and we following, have we truly been called by God? Are we sure we are walking with the Spirit of God? He said, the people called by his name, not people who are enforcing themselves on God and on God's people. Do we qualify? This is the verse we quoted. So I'm using our own verse. I am part of it. I'm a Ghanaian and I'm a Christian. It affects me. So it's not about you. It's about us. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Have we humbled ourselves? Have we gone into our archives? Have we gone to check and see what is wrong? Have we apologized to the Lord truly? When I watched the poster, all God healed our land. And all the men of God, they were beaming with smiles. Smiling back. I said, hey, God heal our land. And the posters, even people who did, could not get their pictures crying. This is not the time for laughter. And this is not the time you pick that. You know, putting your pictures there, I have no problem. But the pictures, they are smiling. And you say, God heal our land. Everything is okay. That's why you are smiling. And you say, God should heal you. So you see, there is a discord. There is a discord. This is what I saw. There is a discord. Oh God, heal us. He said, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Have we seek the face of the Lord? Last week we asked, what is the Lord saying about the disease? We didn't ask him. We are comfortable with what our politicians are saying. We are okay with that. Whilst in the time of Israel, they rather, the king and his people will now go and say, call me the prophet. This is beyond us. The prophet will come and say, wait, go to the Lord and say, king, this is what you did. This is what the people did. God said, repent. This one should do this. Then deliverance will come. But now we who are supposed to go to God for information and come back to him, we are rather applauding the kings, the politicians, our leaders. We are rather resting upon them. He said, and seek my face. Listen to, turn from their wicked ways. Have we, the leadership of the church, have we, the individuals in the church, have the president of Ghana and his people, have we turned from our evil ways? There is a message circulating, and I've spoken to that woman. God is annoyed with the nation. From the leadership to the down, everybody, majority of us. That is why he allowed this. He said, if we will repent, we are praying, correct. Today is the second day. Have we truly repented? But for this, I tell you, if we don't repent, then this prayer, you know, in one of the messages, the lady said, God said, when you pray in sin and you are not ready to repent, you rather call me to come and look at your sins and pay you back. Wow. And 3 days, 2 days or 3 days early, I did that statement and I said, please, if you are not ready to repent, forget about the prayer. If not, we are going to cause anger. The next day, I received a message from this woman. Saying God said, if you are living in sin and you don't want to repent and you are calling him to have mercy, you just call him to come and have a look at your sins and repay you back.
Another provoking.
Another provocation. He said, if my people will come, they will pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, until we turn from our wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal the land. Until there is forgiveness of sin, and forgiveness cannot come except there be confession and total turning away. He said, I will not forgive. So we don't go saying, no, let me link it with this. God have mercy. God have mercy. God have mercy. Let's look at what brings the message of God. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Let's look at verse 9. Let's look at verse 13 first. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsaketh shall have mercy. Until we confess and forsake, there is nothing like mercy. So every time we've been praying, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. Until you, me, us, we confess and forsake our sins, there is nothing like mercy. Then verse 9, Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Every prayer of a sinner like you and me who are not ready to repent, completely turn away from the word of from Satan and come to Christ, their prayers is an abomination. So are you sure these prayers we are praying, whereby majority of us are living our life just anyhow, not ready to repent? I wish you, God is going to listen. Let's look at Isaiah. We've been praying. We are a nation of prayer. But what is happening? Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities, I'm not going to use your iniquities, but our iniquities have separated us and our God. And our sins have hid his face from us that he will not hear us. Our iniquities and sin have hid his face. The verse they quoted, the scripture they wanted to use, it's a very good scripture. It's a very good verse. But the best thing they should have done to be talking more about repentance and completely turning away from sin. This is what we should have been doing. But suddenly, this is not going on. But we are praying, God, 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 God. Let's come to John. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Let's look at verse 31. John chapter 9. Let's look at verse 31. John 9:31. He said, now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now we know God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him shall he hear. If anybody be a worshipper of God and do the will of God, God heareth him. So upon all the prayer and the fasting, if you and me, we don't do the will of God, if we don't fear God, if we don't obey the commandment of God, God will never hear me and you. So for the fasting, we should fast. Prayer, we should pray. But the key is repentance. Let me tell you this. God will never destroy the righteous and the unrighteous together. No. After telling you all this and warning me and you, if our leaders, the people in authority, from the presidency, come to the kings, come to our pastors, come to you and me, if we don't repent, let me tell you this, God will descend upon the land, will punish the land. But for the children of God, for those that will stand in holiness and righteousness, for those that will repent from their sins, for those that will come and believe in Jesus and walk according to the word of Jesus, Jesus will protect them. Mark this on the wall. This one I tell you 100%. God will protect his own. After telling you this, me, I will go and practice according to the word of God. As the fasting came, we last week, the Lord made us to fast Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And he told us after finishing on Sunday and praying, he told us to repeat that this week. So the fasting the country is doing, our God made us to do so last week and told us to repeat it this week. So for us, we are in already. And I know it's not just about us. There are a lot of people that God is leading. They are praying. Yeah. For the righteous in the state, we will stand for the Lord. We will continue. As to whether you believe that things we are saying or not, we're careless. No. That is our bad case. Now, let's go to some dreams. So tell our leaders, tell the kings, tell the chiefs, our politicians, if we are not ready to repent, we should forget about the prayers. We'll be wasting our time. Now, get this. There is much things ahead. More sicknesses will come. That one aside. And great suffering for the church is coming. Mark this on the wall. Let me just talk about some dreams. I don't have time to be. We didn't have much time to play it. A sister from USA called Rashida. Rashida Nani. From the USA. On the 9th of April, she had a dream. She said something had happened. She did not know what had happened. But they found themselves in the bush. Like they have run to hide in the bush. Christians. All of a sudden, they were there and soldiers came. And they brought this, is it gulatin?
Yeah, gulatin.
Gulatin. Small one.
Gulatin, yeah.
And they lined all of them up. He said her husband was the last but one, and she was the last person. And from the beginning, you come, they put your head inside. Come, they put your head down. They cut the head. They cut the head. So he said, in the dream, that was what they were doing. They didn't give them anything. Just killing them. Anyhow, killing them. When they caught the husband, taking him to the guillotine, then she waked up from the dream. Before then, when this lockdown came, on the 22nd of March, a brother is a place called Sabonjida. In Tamale, it is Sabonjida, Northern Region. It is close to Salaga. Brother Simon, he is here. He attends Presby, but he has gone to his town in Sabonjida. He had a dream after the lockdown that soldiers, these were not these are normal soldiers, so that this is special soldiers. You know, these are soldiers. We have TikTok ones, but yeah. These ones are extra special. From their regard, you see them, you yourself, you begin to shake. Mm-hmm. So, like, he found himself, they were in a school praying with some few people. And he saw that the soldiers came there wanting to arrest them. But he said, to their surprise, they became invisible in the room. And the soldiers were still sensing, because they had some demonic senses. So they were able to sense them. There are people here, but they could not see them. So after searching, they could not see them. They went out. He said, but the Lord opened his eyes and he was following them. They were catching Christians. If you are three behind the store praying, they will catch you, beat you, I'll go and lock you. That was all they were doing. That is 22nd March. A month after 22nd April, he went up early in the morning, praying around, getting to five, so that he would go to where he was supposed to go. In the midst of the prayer, he got a vision. They were like at a place. He said, supposedly, they have finished Bible studies. And they have gotten up, they were about to pray, a group on the field. Mm-hmm. And he saw there were two, like some people passing, which have opened their eyes very wide looking at them. And the Spirit told them, a time is coming. Group prayer, corporate prayer is not going to be allowed again. You're not going to be allowed to do corporate prayer. You won't be allowed. And I'm not surprised. Wait. Just last week, I don't listen to news. I don't have time. But my wife, they opened 6 o'clock and I was in a room. And they arrested some people, supposedly for not social. They went to party. Mm-hmm. So while they were talking, the news person asked the woman, assuming we have about 10 young men, young women, they want to pray. And because of social distancing, they go on a very big field and they distance themselves even far wider than the social distance. Is it allowed? Do you know what the woman said? He said, no, it's not allowed. So immediately the woman said that. I said, wow. Then it means truly it's coming. Ah, if it is just about social distancing, mm-hmm. a whole field and about 10 people are filled, what is social? Well, have they violated social distancing?
No.
But the woman said, no, you are not supposed to gather. This is what the church will see. It is coming. We're not going back to that normalcy again.
Oh, yeah.
So now ask the Lord, what must we do? What are the strategies? What are the skills? Show us the way how to be able to survive. Because in the midst of these things, still we must preach the gospel. So it is only the Lord that can give us. Another brother got a dream. And he said, it was like the world of 10, technologically very advanced. High ranking skyscrapers, buildings, and everything. Like, they were not driving. They were not working. He said, machines have taken over.
Yeah.
But a day came in that era that they were all supposed to be chipped.
Mm-hmm.
So they are flying up, they were being chipped. So he said, he was in the queue. People were taking the chip. Once it was about to get to his turn, the Lord Jesus appeared and rebuked him to go away from that place. So when the Lord Jesus rebuked him, he went to sit by some sisters or women she knew personally and asked them, have you heard about the chip? Then one of them said, oh, I went to the saloon, so I took my chip in the saloon and showed it to her. So he said, while they were doing it, the Lord told them, the devil doesn't want them to know what really that chip is about.
Yeah.
And he said, the Lord told them that this will have them to control everything and everybody. And immediately you take it.
That's it.
You are getting the mark of the beast no matter what. That is what is going to happen.
Yeah.
This is a dream. He says, so in the dream, do you know the last message the Lord gave him? Prepare. Prepare. He was in the queue. The Lord rebuked him to get out. Don't go to take it. He said, now the Lord told them that they have a deadline. After the deadline, all of you who have not taken the mark of the beast, your buildings, your business, your job, everything, you are going to lose it. But be prepared. This is the message the Lord gave. And just today, I was there, a brother sent me a message. You know, I did a message on Great Tribulation and Rapture.
Yeah.
He is in one of the holiness churches in Accra. He sent it to another brother in the holiness church. They attend the same church. Then he said, all of a sudden, the brother recorded the message and brought it back there. In 2019, he saw like a man dressed like the old prophets, the way they dress.
Mm-hmm.
And he was part of the people. Like they were following the old prophet like disciples. So when they followed the old prophet, he said, they got to a place and somebody was being slaughtered like a sheep. So immediately they got there. The old prophet stopped and looked at all of them following them. He said, have you seen what is happening? He said, this is how some of you are going to be slaughtered for you to die. He said, have you seen he's a human being? But he's taking it. He said, if you people are unable to take it the same way. So the brother is in a holy message. He said, ah, but we have all been told this thing. So when he went up, he said, no.
You have all been told.
This, we've been told that rapture before tribulation. So when he got up, he said, no. Then this is the true message. So after going to his way, he said that the man told him that very soon the scriptures in Matthew is going to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the man, that is 2019. Yeah. So when the man said, I said within his spirit, in the vision, what came into his mind that Matthew chapter 24 is about to be fulfilled.
There you are.
This is what the brothers, it was just today was said to me. So my dear brother, my dear sister, be prepared. Now, let's see something from the Bible. Let's go to Roman. You know, the problem is, you know, me, when I even dream, I forget. I've not seen an angel before, no. Not to talk of Jesus, no. All I know is the Bible. And I know that is the simplest way, the easiest way for God to speak to anybody. So I believe the word of God. But majority of us want to see Jesus personally. And Jesus said, blessed are they who have not yet seen, but yes, believe. So we who have not seen, who have not gotten visions, who have not gotten dreams, but we believe the word of God, we are blessed more.
Yeah.
So don't ever think that if Kofi, Amma, Akosia have gotten vision and you have not gotten vision, it means that the person is better than you, no? He said, blessed are they who have not yet seen, but yet believe. Let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Everything written was written for your learning and for my learning. Now let us go on to, let's look at 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verse 5, 6, and 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 11. Verse 5. He said, but with many of them, God was not pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. After drinking the rock, which was Christ, they were overthrown in the desert. He said, now these things were written. Where he said, these things were examples. He said, to the intent, we should not lust after the evil things, as they also laughed after. God did this to Israel. Verse 11 says, now all these things are being unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world shall come. So everything that happens to Israel was done for you and for me. Israel, let's look at Romans chapter 11 and 21. Romans 11, 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, Israel, take heed, lest he will not spare thee.
Yeah.
The natural, biological children, Israel, they have the most, the people who have suffered most, the country which has suffered most in the world is Israel.
Yeah.
If God have not spared them, he said, take heed, if not, he's not going to spare me and you. Let's look at what he did to Israel. And this is what God is saying. God loves Ghana. In one of the messages the sister gave, I'm working on it. The sister said, he said, God said, Ghana is a country that I compare to Israel. And if anybody in the world will sin against me, I was not expecting Ghana to do that. But because of what they are doing, I've removed my shield. He said, the Lord showed it to him that after removing the shield, he put it only on his children. Only. Last week, as we were praying, one of the brothers said, I saw that, like, it seems they have removed the lockdown and businesses were going as normal. But what I saw is that there are some particular people, they are working and they have people, white people, people in white dresses walking by them. But they are few. That is what one of the brothers said.
Okay, angel that, protection.
Thank you! They were walking on the street normal like everybody. But there were one people who are some men or women white, wearing white walking with them. That is the protection of the Lord.
Yeah.
Let's look at the word of God. Now, Isaiah. Let's look at what God did to Israel. Now, Ghana, we say we are a Christian nation. We go to church. That one, if you say it, I agree. But not a Christian nation. Because every time I've been saying this, you can't tell me you're a Christian. Before you can become a Christian, you must be a disciple of Christ Jesus. Because he said the disciples were first called Christians. So until you become a disciple, like the standard of Paul at the time of Antioch, you don't qualify to be a Christian. No. They were disciples first. Before they were called Christian. And me and you, are we disciples? He said, if you are disciples, obey my commandments. Are we obeying? Let's look at Isaiah. God said he wrote all the things he did to them for our warning. Is that not it? Let's look at what God did, some of them. In Isaiah chapter 1, let's read from verse 1 coming. Isaiah chapter 1, from verse 1. I will just read through. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up a children, and they have rebelled against me. Ghana, this is what we're doing. The ox know his master, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel do not know me. My people do not consider. Ah, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord and they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. And they have gone backward. Let's just jump and go to somewhere. Let's go to verse 10. He said, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. So a sinning nation. Their leaders are like leaders of Sodom, and their inhabitants, listen, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. So a nation which is committing sin, their leaders are regarded as the leaders of Sodom, and their indigents are regarded as people of Gomorrah. And what did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah?
Destruction.
Destroy them. Let's continue. To what purpose in the multitude of, he said, multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and fat of the fat beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, lambs, and he goats. Is it not God who told them to bring this?
Mm-hmm.
But because of their sin, he became annoyed.
Yeah.
Now let's continue. He said, when ye come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand? To tread my cause. He said, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. This is the same God who told them to bring incense to. But because now they are living in sin, the incense is an abomination unto him. He said, your new moons, your Sabbath, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even as your solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates. This is Israel, not Ghana. The people of God, because of sin, their solemn meeting, God himself mentioned their holy meetings. He said he's against it. Let's continue. He said, I am worried. He said, they are trouble unto me. I am worried to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yeah. When ye make many prayers, I will not hear. For your hands are full of blood. This is God talking to his beloved nation, Israel. Is it not the same thing he's saying to us? And we are not ready to repent. But even in the annoyance of the Lord, listen to what the Lord said. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evils of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead the cause of the widows. Come now and let us reason together. Mm. Sayeth the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as clean as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you will refuse and rebel, ye shall be destroyed with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. This is the Lord, though. And let's look at, after advising all this way, if we refuse to listen unto God, do you know what follows? Proverbs chapter 1, 28. 23 down. Proverbs 1:23 down. Tell you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, meaning repent, and I will make known unto you my ways. Because I have called and you refused, I stretched forth my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsels. My call to repentance, you have set it at naught. He said, and woe none of my reproofs. He said, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as a desolation, and your distraction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early in the early, but they shall not find me. For they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. God is calling us to repent too. But if me and you will refuse, and listen to this, a time comes after God have called repentance, 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 and we refuse to repent. When those who are even holy want to intercede for the nation, do you know what the Lord will say? When you have time, take these verses. Let me just read. Jeremiah chapter 7 from verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 7 from verse 12. But go ye unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. But then God have destroyed Shiloh. And he's telling the people Israel, when I chose Shiloh, I destroyed it. Verse 30. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, I speak unto you rising up early and speaking, but ye have not heard. I called you and ye answered not. Have you seen the same thing like Proverbs chapter 1? The same thing they are saying. Therefore, will I do this to this house, which is called by my name, where ye trust, and unto the place which I gave unto you. He said, unto you and to your fathers, as I have done in Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast all your brethren, even the whole of the seed of Ephraim. Listen to 16. Therefore, he was telling the prophet, pray not thou for these people, neither lift I up a cry, nor pray for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear.
Yeah.
Ghana, let us not get to this standard, though.
Yeah.
Please, let us not get to this standard. Because if we refuse to repent, when you go to the same, I read Jeremiah, the same Jeremiah, chapter 11, let me read it. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 9 down. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 9. These things are the things the Lord wrote for me and you. This is what he did to his biological children. Every time I've been saying, somebody has given birth. The biological children have gone be sick. He has thrown them away or putting them aside and come to adopt you from a children's home, orphanage home. And you came and you are misbehaving more than the biological children. What do you think is going to happen? This is what the Gentiles we are doing, you know. Israel, the people of God. The Bible says he has allowed sleeping to fall upon them. For me and you to be grafted in, when we came, we are misbehaving more than Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Israel people, do they endorse, how do we call it, LGBT?
Yeah.
At their time, they did not even do that.
Yeah.
Just some small, me and you will call small disobedience. Look at what God did to them. But me and you who claim we have come to Christ, now we believe everything. We allow everything. We have allowed rights to come. Gay right, this right, this right. Let's listen. Jeremiah 11 from verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah. Today we're talking about Ghana and the world. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their fathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel, the house of Judah, has broken my covenant which I made with their fathers. Which covenant did Jesus make? Go and preach repentance. Go and sin no more.
Be perfect, for I am perfect. Be holy, for I am holy. This is the covenant we were given. Now listen to what followed. He said, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them. Who is bringing evil? Upon the people of Israel, the children of God. God. So the evil that comes upon the church. Every time I've been saying this, any plan which is coming from Satan to destroy the children of God, God will prompt us in advance. God will tell his children, pray about this. The devil wants to do this. Stop it. But if God is bringing it, he keeps quiet. He may tell you and say, prepare. It is coming. He said, I will bring evil upon this land, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. This is what the Lord is saying. And though they will cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. And continue. Then shall the cities in Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they have offered incense. But they shall not save them at all time of their trouble. For according to the number of their cities were their gods, O Judah, and according to the number of their streets of Jerusalem, have ye set up altars to the shameful thing, even altars of, he said, altars to burn incense, to bow. So anything, let me tell you, anything that impedes me and you from worshiping God, from obeying God, from going according to the word of God, is an idol. Yeah. Anything. Verse 14. Therefore, he is telling Jeremiah again. It was in chapter 7, he said, pray not for them. Chapter 11, he said it again. That's Jeremiah 11, 14. Therefore, pray not thou for these people, neither lift I a cry or pray for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. This is God, though. The same God who have never changed. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. For us, we are being given the opportunity to repent. Dear Ghana, if the entire Ghana will not repent, if the church will not repent, you and me can repent. If you will not repent for me by his grace, I will repent by his grace and follow him. I know God will not destroy the righteous and the sinners, but we are pleading. If it affects you, it affects me. The only solution to what is going on is God. So tell them, it's like of one day, maybe the first and second day, they did not repent. The third day, that is tomorrow, we can all repent and pray unto God. Cry unto God. Ask for mercy. Don't go attacking the disease. Ask for mercy and ask God to intervene. God bless you.
All right, I'll be back after this short break.
the skin of my resistance is broken. He moves in swiftly to deepen the cut. O Lord of creation, hear your servant. You understand the weaknesses of men. I'm counting myself crucified with Jesus, alive to Christ and dead indeed to sin. Lord, I
okay, girls, Grandma's late, so I'm in charge of dinner.
Pizza!
No, let's see what's in the refrigerator. Ah, back in the corner, there's some leftover meatloaf. That'll be good.
Grandpa, that's the meatloaf we had last month.
Ew, it's green and got fuzzy stuff on it.
Gross!
The thought of eating rancid meat is revolting to us.
Grandpa, this meat stinks. I'm not touching it.
This is what our sin is like to God.
It'll be fine. Here, put some ketchup on it.
Grandpa... it's moving.
Put a lot of ketchup on it.
No amount of good works could cover up even one of our sins. But there is good news.
I'm home.
Grandma, please say you bought dinner.
Of course I did. Tonight we're having pizza.
Yay!
God has offered to pay the price for our sins and give us His righteousness. He offers this to anyone who believes in His Son Jesus. Are you putting ketchup on your sins, or will you accept God's gift?
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Status report!
Squad 1 is pinned down at Sector 7, sir! The supplies are getting low! Casualties are at 35%!
Radio Squad 2 to pull back and regroup with Squad 1 in Sector 7!
Urgent message coming in from Squad 2, sir!
What is it?
This is Bravo 3 to Squad 2. Please repeat. Over. They want a pizza, sir!
What?
No anchovies!
In the midst of life's battles... what do you pray for?
So what'd they say?
We're supposed to regroup with Squad 1 in Sector 7.
No, what about the pizza?
They said, no.
Oh, man. Squad 1 asked for reinforcements and we have to go help. I ask for a simple pizza and I get nothing.
The Bible says when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
Are you seeking God's will in your prayers? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Welcome back. This is Eben. I'm in the studio with Brother Yao. Oh, Ray. You know, truth is, I mean, it's hard sometimes to swallow and accept. But if we humble ourselves and we take it, looking forward, later on, when you look back, you realize it was a good decision you took to obey and to listen. I know the mainstream church, as it were, is not in favor of the fact that hard times are coming. People don't want to hear the fact that difficult times are ahead and all that because of what we've been told over the period. But you see, the Holy Spirit has been teaching me some things, and one analogy he gave me was the fact that when you have two people going to write an exam, one is fully prepared. The learning type, you know, when you're in school, there are people who are always on the book. I mean, they learn. Even first day, when you, after first day lectures, when you write that, you conduct an exam on it, they will get A because they're always ready. Then there are also those who wait, and then the day before exam, before they are asking, please, can I get these notes? I can't find mine. Those people who are there, it's like the careless, they just came to school to just pass through the campus. When the exam period comes, the one who is prepared has an advantage because he's prepared psychologically, he's prepared emotionally, and academically, he's also prepared. The same thing applies to the times we find ourselves in. The Christians who are hearing these things, we talk about the warnings, the messages the Lord is giving, what the Bible says and all that, and are preparing seriously and taking it up, are preparing themselves psychologically, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Now, those who say that, oh, this too shall pass, oh, all is well, oh, God will not allow this to happen, I mean, it's like, oh, no, it can't happen. We'll go before anything hard comes on the Christians. We'll go. Now, when the reality begins to unfold, who has a higher chance of surviving? Or enduring, even as Jesus said, endure to the end. To endure means it's not an easy thing. But the one who has been psychologically psyched up has the higher chance of endurance than the one who was told, oh, nothing is coming. And do you know what the Holy Spirit showed me? That those people, please, my favorite, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, okay. The verse 3.
Okay, let me just...
The falling away.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first.
The falling away. And you know, and then for the man of sin.
Is it? Yeah.
The falling away will even happen before the Antichrist comes. The system, the persecution is even going to start before the Antichrist comes onto the scene. And this is even another thing we have to take note of. So the persecution is already started in some countries.
Yeah.
And it's adding up. More countries are adding up. Coronavirus is even widening the scope through a different angle. So the tightening of the screws is happening. Then John 16:33.
And I read, see, these are the very words of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Have overcome the world. In me,
mm-hmm.
you have peace, but in the world, you have tribulation.
This is the word of God. So those who endure this will stand, even at the peril of their lives, endure to the end.
Mm.
But those who say nothing is going to happen, out of that pain and the anger, and the disappointment in God and in their leaders and in their churches and in their doctrines,
fall away.
They will fall away.
that hatred that they will have, because it's like you've been told that, oh, I mean, like you promise your, I mean, children, oh, we are going to buy ice cream. We are, you know, something sweet. Oh, good. We are going. Then now you don't take them to a sweet place.
They see you in the house.
Then some, the way they'll be angry, that's that they can't beat you, the father. So, but that's exactly what will happen, where the anger of people is like, if this is the Christianity that we've been lied to all this while, we've been disappointed, God has disappointed us, God has betrayed us because we believed his word. That told us, that's not what the word of God said anyway. But because you believe what you were told without checking, that's what you believe. God has disappointed us. God has betrayed us. God has done this. God has done that. And people will leave the faith because of these things. And I believe, God willing, next week we'll be talking more about these things and what you should do to prepare for the times ahead. We'll be starting a series along those lines, and I believe it is going to be interesting. And you can follow up today's program, last week's program. Those who missed it, the Wrath of God, and then the Great Tribulation, spiritissues.info. And come back to you, God, in the next week. Let's keep safe in the hands of God and in the covering of the blood of Jesus. That's what we need. But you see, it's also not a license to misbehave, because if you are not living a holy life, forget about divine protection. Let's not deceive ourselves. It's not like insurance that you just hold and misbehave. No, it goes with responsibility. Divine covering and protection goes with responsibility on the side of those who benefit from it. So we can't live a careless life and expect God to protect us. Good night, and God bless you.
Status report!
Squad 1 has pinned down at Sector 7, sir! The supplies are getting low! Casualties are at 35%!
Radio Squad 2 to pull back and regroup with Squad 1 in Sector 7!
Urgent message coming in from...